Amen. Good morning, church. Please be seated. My name is Pastor Vince, and to those of you who are joining us online, welcome. And Pastor Frank is in Israel. And some of you may have seen his midweek greeting. Who saw his midweek greeting? All right. Awesome. And what a great experience to be able to give your midweek greeting out there in the Sea of Galilee. I was with him back in 2014, and it's an amazing experience. Now he's with Pastor Jonathan over there in the land of Israel. Last week, we ended our series on What's the Difference, which talks about Christianity and in contrast with all the other major religions that are out there today. So today, I'd like to talk about a different topic. And I've entitled my message, For Such a Time as This. It's taken from the book of Esther in Esther 4:14, where Esther's cousin Mordecai informed her that an edict was given by the king of Persia to annihilate the Jews. And perhaps the Lord has made her queen of Persia to intervene in behalf of her people for such a time as this. And if you know the story, Queen Esther did intervene. She saved her people. And up to today, the Feast of Purim is celebrated in remembrance of that story of courage amidst overwhelming odds. So since then, this has been a catchphrase related to the challenge God puts before His people when He wants them to step up to the plate during times of crisis, when bravery and sacrifice is required in order to do what's necessary to further God's cause here on earth. Today we find ourselves in such critical times again. Our brothers and sisters in Ukraine are suffering, and we as a church took an offering, and then we sent them $6,800 to assist them, and that's just the beginning. Nowadays, we also find ourselves emerging out of another crisis, one that has crippled many churches and has caused some of them to even close. And I'm talking about the COVID-19 pandemic that has wreaked havoc in so many people's lives, including my own. My very own sister succumbed to COVID-19 at the start of the pandemic in 2020. My sister and I talked about retiring together and taking vacations together. She's an employee of United Airlines, and she and I could have gone all over the world, wherever United flies, for free. But alas, it was not meant to be. My whole family was also hit with COVID at the start of this year, and it must have spread during our New Year's family gathering, but it was rather mild. I was asymptomatic and probably would never have known I had it had I not taken the test because my wife was tested positive. So I would say there's one word that characterized a lot of people's reaction to COVID, it's this. It's fear. Fear. And rightly so, because people were dying. People even in their 20s who were healthy were dying. And sometimes it feels like it's a roll of the dice. So I guess it's not yet my time. In the Philippines, we have a saying that crabgrass is hard to kill. Crabgrass is a weed that grows everywhere. There's soil, and such a nuisance and hard to kill. So maybe I'm like crabgrass, I don't know. But now that we are emerging out of this pandemic, the million-dollar question to ask is this. Should I go back to church in person, or should I continue watching online? Some churches have an easy answer to that. They have stopped rendering dispensations for church attendance a long time ago. So now, if you don't go to church in person and just attend online or on TV, it doesn't count. You've missed church attendance, and that's a sin. But we are not like that. And for us, determining if it's a sin or not is a little bit more complex than that. So instead of discussing if it's a sin or not, let me just walk through some steps to determine what would please the Lord more. Because sometimes it's a gray area, and you just have to use your best judgment in searching your heart and making your best decision before God. But I commend you, and you're on the right track if you're asking that question. Another question to ask is this. Should we start having in-person growth group or Bible study, or should we keep meeting with Zoom, or is a hybrid meeting acceptable and a valuable option? These and many more I will try to address this morning. But first, let me make a very general statement, okay? This is a general statement. And as a general rule, in-person is the better option. As a general rule, in-person is the better option. Of course, there are exceptions based on circumstances, but as a general rule, in-person is better. Why? For the simple reason that it's more personal. Think about it. How does God deal with us? If the goal is simply to communicate a message, then God could have just spoken to man in dreams and visions. If the goal is just to communicate His love for us, God could have given that message to us in a dream that says, God loves you. Or He could have created clouds that would form the words in skywriting, like this. That would have been enough to communicate that He loves us, right? So why did Jesus have to leave His heavenly abode and all His glory and dominion in order to become limited as a man, lived among the poorest of the poor, and experience what it's like to go hungry and tired and misjudged and rejected and betrayed and to feel pain and suffering? I mean, if His goal is just to experience what it's like to be human, He could have been born with royal blood, living in a palace with servants and guards and fine clothes and good food. Why did Jesus live a life among the poorest of the poor? In Matthew 8:20, Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." This verse tells us that Jesus, when He was on earth, at a portion of His life, was literally homeless. Just the other day, I was watching this documentary on homelessness in L.A., in NBC's Dateline. It's entitled City of Angels. And it's breaking stereotypes that the homeless people are lazy and drug addicts and mentally ill. In reality, many of them are just people caught up in an unfortunate situation. People who lost their jobs, got evicted, or are employed but couldn't afford housing. And it put a face to the crisis. The documentary starts by telling the story of Vijay Gupta, a Juilliard-trained violinist who at the age of 19 joined the L.A. Philharmonic. Quite an accomplishment. He was playing at the Walt Disney Concert Hall, which was 2 miles away from Skid Row. And when he saw the deplorable conditions at Skid Row, he advocated for the homeless and started Street Symphony. And there he gathered renowned artists and homeless people alike together, and they would put together concerts for the homeless to watch. And he was asked by Dateline, "Did the homeless appreciate classical music?" He didn't say yes. His response was, "They appreciated the fact that someone showed up, asking how you were and saying, 'Here I am for you right now. I'm here for you right now.'" They appreciated the fact that someone cared enough to put up a concert for them. Again, it's the personal touch, showing that you care. Do you know what it's like to live as a homeless person? Jesus does. He showed up. He showed up on earth. Became a man. Even a homeless man. He showed up. Why did Jesus show up? So no one throughout history can be able to say to God and say, "Lord, You don't know what I'm going through." Not one person can say that to God. Jesus came to earth, died a cruel death on the cross. Why? Because His love is personal. He became one of us so that His message is clear. God said to mankind, in very concrete terms, in a personal way, "I love you." God's message to mankind is always personal. Why were the lives of the disciples changed? Why were they willing to risk everything for this gospel message? Because they understood the gospel message of love in the most personal way. That's the reason it changed their lives. It's personal. It touched their hearts. Changed their lives. But oftentimes when there's a need in the church for volunteers, it's so easy to think, oh, that's a good idea. Let somebody else do it. Or let's hire somebody to do it. Versus saying, yes, I want to make a difference. I'll do it. Now, I understand we've all got busy lives, planes to catch, bills to pay, children to feed, deadlines to meet. But let me ask you this. Who's more busy than God? Attending to the needs of the universe. And yet, this is what Philippians chapter 2 says. It says in verse 5, in your relationship with one another, meaning as you relate to one another in the church, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, He was God, minding the whole universe. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled Himself. He became obedient to death, even a death on the cross. No matter how busy He was, He showed up. He emptied Himself of deity in order to become one of us. So if Jesus is personal, and if the gospel is personal, then the way we should relate to one another should also be personal. Jesus expects us to be personal in the way we regard one another. It's called fellowship. And the original Greek word for it is koinonia. And there's a certain quality of koinonia that is unique to Christian fellowship that sets it apart from all other social gatherings. Okay? A political rally is a social gathering. The Super Bowl is a social gathering. Even happy hour is a social gathering. What makes koinonia different from all other social gatherings? What makes it unique is the overwhelming presence of God in a personal way. There is a sense wherein worshiping God with other believers is personal. The singing touches the heart. The exposition of God's word is enlightening and life-changing. The giving of tithes and offerings is purposeful. The prayers are meaningful. Here's an actual description of Christian fellowship in action. Acts 2:42 says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to do what? To give to anyone who had need. That's quite a commitment. What happened because of that? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And this is the result. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The characteristics of fellowship is this. Fellowship revolves around the personal presence of God. It says that they were praising God, worshiping together in the temple courts. They listened to the apostles' teaching. The heart of Jesus is central to fellowship. You don't get that in sports events or in happy hour. You only get that in fellowship with other believers. And it's not just a physical presence, but a spiritual presence that is there in fellowship. They were connecting both socially and spiritually. That's why fellowship is far superior when done right, because man is composed of body, soul, and spirit. And the Christian fellowship you experience with other believers is connecting God and His people in all three levels, emotionally, socially, and spiritually. In contrast, when you are not connected with other people, your mental health begins to deteriorate. That's why isolation brought about by the pandemic has taken its toll on people's mental health. Domestic violence was up because of the pandemic. Primarily because people were so cooped up inside the house and getting on each other's nerves because of the isolation. There was also a general spike in anxiety and depression across the board, affecting all ages. Again, because of the isolation caused by the pandemic. But most interesting is this. The age group most affected were teens and young adults. The younger the age group, the more vulnerable they were to anxiety and depression. And here's what's even more interesting. Among the teens and young adults, the most vulnerable were the girls more than the boys. What is ironic is that teens and young adults are well familiar with social media. And they were still connecting through social media during the pandemic. But it was not enough. It was not enough. They were still feeling the isolation. Why? Because that's a basic human need to connect personally. I can explain to you the difference between an online community and in-person community and why in-person is the real deal and online community is insufficient to meet man's needs. But I think this illustration says it better. He had over 2,000 friends, Facebook friends. I was expecting a larger turnout. What's the difference? Your real friends are the ones that show up when you need them the most. Well, maybe it wouldn't matter to you if you're already dead, but you get what I mean, right? And that's what fellowship is all about. It's your community that shows up when it counts the most. Which brings me to my next point. Fellowship will always remind us that we are not alone in this journey. You are not alone in this journey. You are not alone in this journey. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. It means being there for one another through good times and hard times. We have a tagline in church. We say, we will laugh together, we will cry together, but we will do it together. Pointing out to the core value that you are not alone, I'm here for you. Third, it's for our mutual encouragement. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. I mean mutual. Why? Because fellowship is not just for you. It's for the next person too. That person next to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, fellowship is also for you. Good. Good. It's for you. And it's for you who are watching us online. Because if it were just you, then you may be just satisfied with staying at home, watching TV or watching in your computer the worship service. But fellowship is not just for you. It's not just for what you can get out of the service. It's also for the other person too. And other people in the church need your presence here. In person. Why? For the same reason why so many people are struggling with mental health. Throughout the pandemic, people need the personal touch. To unpack this, let me explain the concept of church corporate worship. Corporate worship is the inspirational experience derived from mass gatherings of believers that encourages people, galvanizes commitment, strengthens resolve, and reinforces values because other people are joining you in the process of worshiping God. There's a certain way that corporate worship affects you that nothing else will affect you. Nothing else would be able to affect you the way corporate worship does. And that's why it says in Acts 2, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And as you can see in this verse, they made it their priority to encourage one another. They met every day in the temple courts, not just every worship day or not just every Sabbath, but every day. And if that wasn't enough, they met in their homes afterwards and held communion there. They shared life together. If someone was going through a crisis, they rallied together to encourage that person. You see, in life, when you're doing okay, that's a blessing. But someone else may not be. Someone else may be in need. Who's going to help that person? Who? You are. You are. Because you're in a position to do so. And that's what it means to show up for the other person in church. That's fellowship. Now you may say, oh, I can do that online, encourage one another. True. And I thank God for technology that allows us to do that. And I thank you all for using technology to do ministry. The Zoom meetings, the online giving. Thank you all for that and for your faithful giving and using technology to do ministry. It truly made a difference during the pandemic. But now that we're coming out of the pandemic, if showing up in person can have a greater impact, then reach out in person. So how do I know if it's time for me to show up in person? Well, here are some possible considerations for you to look into. Should I attend online or in person? Well, first of all, assess your risks. Let me give you an example of risk assessment done by the early Christians. The early Christians had a high risk tolerance. They knew there was a price for everything and they were willing to take the risks for one another. You see, in the first 3 centuries of the early church, Christianity was outlawed in the Roman Empire. At some points, you can get thrown in prison, your property and business confiscated, and even martyred and fed to the lions in the Colosseum for being a Christian, just for the crime of being a follower of Jesus Christ. But the Christians valued fellowship so much that they were willing to risk their lives just to have fellowship with one another. Talk about risk factors. Because it was risky to fellowship, they needed a way to identify other fellow believers. And the way they did it was by using a secret sign only the Christians knew, the fish symbol. Early Christians used the fish symbol, which you probably have seen in a lot of cars, stickers, and emblems. Why fish? Well, the Greek word for fish is ichthys. And every word in ichthys, in the Greek, is an acronym that represents Yesu, Jesus, Christos, Christ, Theos, God, Huios, Son, God's Son, Soter, Savior. Jesus Christ is God's Son, Savior. So when they meet someone they think might be a Christian, they would draw the top half of the fish. And if the other person was a Christian, he would draw the bottom half of the fish. And that's how they knew. They took precautions, but they were willing to take the risk in order to encourage and fellowship with one another. There's a risk to everything. The question is, how much risk am I willing to take to do something that's important to me? So assess your risk tolerance. Do I have underlying health issues? Because some people do. Comorbidities. Have I been vaccinated? Should I wear a mask? The California Public Health has already lifted the mask mandate. So it's okay to wear, not to wear a mask indoors. But if you want to, it's okay. No one here is going to judge you whether you do or not. Here in church, we try to minimize our risk of transmission. We have high ceilings. We have so many seats. You can social distance as much as you want. There's so many seats around. You can social distance 20 feet if you like. And when you assess your risk tolerance, be consistent. Because it would be inconsistent if you go attend parties and other social gatherings and we see you in Facebook, but then you don't show up in church gatherings, you know. B, work with technology. There may be people in your growth group who are ready to meet in person and those who prefer to meet online. That's totally understandable and no one should feel pressured to do one or the other. Like I said, in person is preferred, but there's always the exception. And you may be the exception because your risk factor is high. But ask one another in your group what your needs are and how to meet those needs, regardless of whether you meet online or in person. There's no wrong or right answer. But the important thing is you ask the question and listen to one another and continue to meet each other's needs. So if your group is divided, see if a hybrid meeting is good for you, is right for you. That is, meeting both in person and online. If that's too much of a challenge technologically for your group, then just use your best judgment. As long as you maintain the personal touch, that's what is important. But keep asking the question and see what works best for your group. Because that's going to still keep changing. C, be gracious to others who differ. Not everyone has the same situation or even the same opinion. So it's best not to judge others based on what you think or what your situation is. Because theirs may be a different situation. What's right for you may not be right for the other person. Mask or no mask, vaccine or no vaccine, hugging or no hugging, shaking hands or no shaking hands. People differ in their comfort level, but we can accept one another's differences without judging. D, go for courage, not convenience. Throughout this pandemic, we have already developed a level of comfort as far as church attendance and fellowship is concerned. We have become used to a certain pattern already. So I get it. It's so convenient to watch worship service in your computer, in your PJs, and eating popcorn. You know, I get it. It's so much nicer to do that. And easier. Nothing wrong with convenience. But I would like to challenge you, if you can come, maybe make that extra effort. Because it may be worth something. Maybe not even for you, but for the person who would see you here in church, would see that as an encouragement. And you've encouraged somebody by coming here, by being here, by giving the personal touch. We need you here. Someone can benefit from your presence here in church. Let courage guide you, not convenience. I mean, if convenience is your main consideration, why even go to church? Why not just pray to God on your own and read your Bible? But the Bible tells us to meet together with other believers. Why? Because God knew that we needed it for our spiritual growth. So come and start volunteering again and make a difference. We need more people to get involved in Sunday school, hospitality ministry, worship team. Last Sunday we had over 30 people help and clean up the church during the Levites in Levi Sunday. It was inspiring to see people, young and old alike, power washing the church, vacuuming the floors, wiping the glass windows and doors, cleaning the stairs and all kinds of work around here, throwing the trash. It's hard to do that online. And then E, reach out to someone. If there is no risk reason, then why shouldn't you attend in person? So please come. But when you're here, reach out to someone. Encourage another person. Ask someone, how are you doing? And then wait for a reply. Make a new friend. Don't go home right away. Exercise the ministry of presence. We need you here. Make your presence count. And then finally, start inviting people to attend church again. Start inviting again. During the pandemic, we stopped inviting, and understandably so. Our online platform has reached out to others in a very wide area, not even in our own immediate area, somewhere even out of state. And that's great. But we have an obligation to our community to reach out in this community here in Irvine. Let's start inviting people again. Let's start reaching out to our community again, our neighbors, our friends, Start inviting them to church again. So whether it's in person or in Zoom, let's always be personal. I've asked a dear sister of ours to share her testimony. She recently lost her husband to cancer in the midst of the pandemic. It was truly a difficult journey, but she has shown tremendous courage and resiliency through it all. I'd like to ask our dear sister, Fatima Ramos, to come and share with us her story. Fatima, would you come?